Well, welcome to the online version of the message. What a joy it is today to come and bring the message. This Sunday, though, Tina is going to bring a message. I'm still going to be in church helping with the worship service, but the message in church will be brought to you by Tina, and I think hopefully eventually we can record that and put it online. I always have to get her permission first, but just to give you a heads up. Well, I want to talk today about responsibility. Now, that's a play on word. You know, we think about, well, our response to the ability to be responsive. Wow. Responsibility. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. New Living Translation. We're now up into chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel. Hear God's Word. One day the apostles said to the Lord, "We need more faith. Tell us how to get it." Jesus replied by saying, "Even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May God uproot you and throw you into the sea,' and it would obey you. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, he doesn't just sit down and eat. He must first prepare his master's meal and serve him his supper before eating his own. And the servant is not even thanked, because he is merely doing what he's supposed to do. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, 'We are not worthy of praise. We are servants who have simply done our duty.'" Well, may God add the blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of portions of Luke chapter 17. Responsibility. I think we would all say that's an important feature of adult life. Amen? We would say that as people, we need to take responsibility for our actions, our lives, and our engagements with the world. And Jesus said we are in the world, not of the world. So we got to have that engagement with the world. I think we would all say that it's wrong to simply expect everyone else to do everything for us. And now this is what it means to graduate from childhood to adulthood. You know, it's been a long lesson, right? So now as we get to adulthood, we are graduating from childhood to adulthood. We learn, we grow, and then we take our place within families and communities as contributors, taking responsibility for our jobs, our deeds, and our lives. Except when we are talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, for some reason, when we think about Jesus, we imagine that upon baptism and confirmation and occasional communion, that our job is done, that our role is now to sit back and receive his gift of grace and then allow Jesus to do everything for us, to fix our lives, to keep us from harm, to prevent and heal our illness, to multiply our good fortune, to comfort us, and to sustain us. We see ourselves as receivers of God's grace and Jesus as the giver. Now, we believe that justification by faith means not only we don't have to do anything except trust in him in order to receive his gift of salvation, but we just plain don't need to do anything at all. Ever again. That's what we think. Good deeds, as we used to call them, acts of mercy, or after all, that's in the Jesus department. Well, he is the miracle worker, no doubt about that, and we're not. Except the Acts of the Apostles would tell us differently, and so would Jesus. The scripture that I read just a while ago, that passage for this week, Jesus is pushing back his disciples pretty firm. Not because they've done everything wrong, but because they are willing to sit back and allow him to take responsibility for their actions and even for their faith. He's responding to a problem that is prevalent today. Passivity of purpose, or perhaps more accurate words, LDS. I don't mean Latter-day Saints. It means Lazy Disciple Syndrome. Now, the disciples have gotten far too comfortable being students of Jesus. And there's no doubt they're enjoying the status of being part of Jesus' inner circle. And I know, I think we all would, and we are, as modern-day disciples. But they got a lot of attention. They love the revolutionary vibe. They can't wait to see what he's doing next. They get a kick out of his antics with the Pharisees, and they're amazed by his ability to teach and heal. They love it so much that they don't want it to end. They are like college students who never want to graduate because they're having just too much fun. But, I always love the buts, when Jesus starts to nudge them to begin taking an active part in the mission, they suddenly feel unprepared. Now, like all passages of Scripture, this one can't be read in a vacuum. We got to be careful about doing that, because just before the conversation, Jesus instructed the disciples that they must be responsible, so as to never cause anyone else to stumble. Not only that, but they must forgive no matter how many times anyone sins. Well, if you go back and reread that scripture, you'll see that Jesus is telling them they got to be careful because they could be a stumbling block. And he also give them some warnings. Whoa, to anyone who they come. It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Now, he's not only talking about children. He's talking about people who are very immature in their faith and they're growing. So he said, watch yourself. Because if your brother and sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, yeah, let's forgive them. He said that even got us do it 7 times a day or 70 times. Come back to you and saying, I repent. And if they do, you got to forgive them. Now, this is Ralphie's analogy, but that's what he's saying. If they repent, you got to forgive them. We are commanded to love one another, and we got to do that. But we don't have to go to fishing with them, but we got to love them. And if they repent, you got to forgive them as you were forgiving. Oh, what a deal. Well, Jesus' disciples began to feel overwhelmed. And this felt like a huge responsibility to act in a way that no one stumbles in their faith, to forgive any time someone sins against them. How in the world can we manage this? Well, their response, Lord, increase our faith. At this time, Jesus becomes a bit stern and informs them that if they've ever even have the slightest bit of faith, they can move mountains. But move is an important concept. They need to take responsibility for their own faith, for their own mission, and all in all, for their own deals. You know, responsibility? Jesus knows that he will not always be with them. He knows that it's time to start moving them from disciple students to engage them in mission with him. Because if they remain passive, the mission will die along with him. Now, they didn't know that at the time that he was going to die, but he knew it. So he's firmly stating their purpose, their job as disciples to serve God's people in the world. Thank God they finally did, because we're receiving all of that ministry and to be able to understand the faith, the true faith, and to carry out God's mission in the world. Now, they aren't to expect a free pass. Discipleship is real and active responsibility that they got to carry out. And they didn't get a free pass, and we don't get a free pass. I think there's a lot of children's stories, a lot of children's books, but I was reflecting on one of the stories of the Little Red Hen. Anybody remember the story of the Little Red Hen? Well, it's a timeless tale as a hen asks a duck, a cat, and a dog for help planting, cutting, thrashing, and milling the wheat, and finally baking the bread for their daily suppers. But nobody wanted any part of the responsibility. So after each of the hen's requests result in decline, she said, okay, then I will do it myself. And after the bread is finished and ready for the table, every one of the animals speak up that they're eager to help her eat the bread. But the little red hen decides to eat it all by herself. Well, the moral of this story, of course, is that those who do not take part in the responsibilities will not take part in the reward. Wow! Jesus is not saying that his salvation is dependent on works. He is saying that our commitment to follow him, to be his disciple, does come with responsibilities. In fact, our covenant with faith in God comes with responsibility, and it has from the beginning of time. A covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. God's covenant assures us that God will always be our God. He will always protect us, love us, and care for us always. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So as part of that covenant, God sent himself in the human form of Jesus to absolve us, to redeem us, to save us from ourselves. Thank be to God. But this covenant has another side, too. It's our responsibility in this covenant is to love God first and our neighbor second, and then to follow Christ as his disciple and to carry out God's mission in the world, to bear the fruit of God's covenant to all generations. You see, we are justified in faith. And that's what all that means, is that we were declared just, justified in God's eyes. But if we're justified, does this free us from our discipleship responsibility? In fact, no. It solidifies them. So when we commit to God in baptism or in confirmation, each time we receive Holy Communion, we recommit our lives to this discipleship. Now, we aren't meant to be mere passive receivers, but we do confirm our responsibility to be active missionaries on a mission to spread God's good news. Often we look at the work that we do in the world, the huge energy that it takes to love people who harm us. Boy, that's so true, but we gotta love them and to care for the people who we disagree with, and we disagree with them and they disagree with us, but we still gotta love. Seems like too much for us to handle as humans, right? So, at this part of what Jesus asks us to do, yes, Jesus will be there for us. Yes, Jesus will help us and assure us of our strength. Yes, he will guide us in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we are not without responsibility. Our responsibility is what makes us worthy disciples, or simply advocates of LDS. Lazy disciple syndrome. No, we don't want that. So we look forward to someday, to the time when we will enter God's heavenly kingdom and sit at the endless feast. But we take on the responsibilities of discipleship in the here and now, not to gain a reward, but because it's our job. God wants well-trained saints in heaven. So we're going to be in basic training until he comes for us, or we go home to be with him. Amen. Because we're all called to be disciple. We are called to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, this is a special day in the life of the church, because today, as people around the world receive Holy Communion as part of the World Communion Sunday, I want you to realize that you are a vital part of the world community. And those who are called to make a difference in this world as members of God's mission team. And the promise that you make and the commitment you sign up for when you take this bread and this juice, it will define you as a true disciple of Jesus Christ. One of those with responsibility. We have to respond, and we have to have the ability to respond, and the Holy Spirit gives us that responsibility. Yeah, it's a play on words, but we need it in order to continue in his name to provide hope for the world and healing in his name. There's something about that name. Well, we hope and pray you had a good day, and looking forward to seeing you in church in person sometime soon. But in the meantime, God loves you, and so do I.